Father, we do thank Thee for the service tonight, for helping all the young ones, for all the work that they have put into this and what their tutors have put into this for this occasion tonight. We thank You for it and for them giving up their own evening service to be here. Lord, bless what has taken place. Bless the work of the school in its ongoing capacity every day. And as the Christmas season has now been entered, and as much looked-for break will soon take place, may teachers and pupils and students alike have a relaxing time over this Christmas season. And may the Lord Jesus be precious to them. We commit Mrs. Wright to Thee just now, and ask Thee to bless Thy servant and her children and their families, that You would comfort them in their loss, and be their refuge and strength, and a very present help. Help us now, as we come to the latter part of the service, may there be a hearing for Thy good word, and may the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified, and may there be a response to it, totally, from the being of every one of us here. In the Saviour's name we pray, and we pray for that mighty power of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel, without which nothing of any lasting significance can be wrought. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. The Christmas season appears to different people in different forms. I wonder if I was to ask the children what they would say. Some would say, oh, it's a time for giving and receiving of gifts. That's right. Then again, I think we've all got to admit, it's a time for unusual eating of different kinds of food in abundance, even to excess. Very often that happens at the Christmas season. But then others might say, well, I never think so much of that. I think of the parties at Christmas. Most of our Sunday school parties and children's meeting parties are over. It's just the youth fellowship dinner and the reach dinner that they'll be having in the near future. Others might say, well, whenever I think of Christmas, I think of the decorations and the way the tree is dressed. Never comes out except for a few weeks before Christmas and soon after it's put away. And then others may say, well, for me, I love to see the cards coming in, and I love to write out the cards, so Christmas is a time for the letter writing or the card writing. For most of us, I would think that Christmas indicates a hectic rush trying to do last minute shopping. For others, all of us, I would say, it's a time to look forward for and to, that we might have a rest when the batteries can be recharged, when the bowstring can be loosed and the bow receive its strength. But let me say that over and above this, there never would be a Christmas season if it were not for one thing. And that really is what Christmas is all about. The advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you tonight for a short while about that, from verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Part of that verse. I'll read the whole verse and then we'll concentrate on the part we want to look at. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the part we want to look at is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Men and women and young people, that's what Christmas is all about. You will not have Christmas if it were not for that first coming, that arrival, that advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. Now let me say three things about it, and if you let me have your attention for the next 15 minutes, then we'll all be happy. You'll have heard the word of God. I'll have got a hearing for the preaching of the gospel, and trustfully there'll be a response from the hearts and lives of each one of us. When I say 15 minutes, we're being hopeful, but we'll do our best for that. First of all, what a person is concerned with the advent. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's take the word Christ. Very often it's used, especially in literature and in television plays or films. Very often it's taken on the lips in a profane and blasphemous way. But it's a very special word in the Bible because Christ means Messiah. It means the Anointed One, the One who was long awaited. Just as the young people were singing there, "Come thou long expected Jesus." Way back in Genesis chapter 3, there was the first promise of the Messiah coming, just after the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Listen to these words that God gave the promise to them. Genesis 3 and verse 15. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That was a promise of the Messiah, long awaited. And yet, we read in John chapter 1, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the Christ we are talking about. But yet for all of that rejection, he is God's Anointed One. He's the great deliverer. He will deliver nations one day. He will deliver his church one day. And ladies and gentlemen and children, he can deliver you tonight if you will put your trust in him as your personal Savior. Look at the word Jesus. This is the name by which he was identified and known. The significance of this name is salvation. You remember, and I think we'll be looking at this next Sunday night, when the angel appeared to Joseph, the angel said that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he's called Jesus. He's the Savior. And the word Jesus means salvation. It means Savior. What a person that this Advent concerns. And then if we move outside the text, we learn also that he's the Son of God. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4 that God sent forth his Son when the fullness of the time had come, made of a woman, made under the law. And Luke chapter 1 was read earlier tonight, and in that chapter we learn that a wee girl by the name of Mary was visited on one occasion by an angel, and told that she was going to conceive, not by any man, but by the Holy Ghost. You'll find the story in Luke chapter 1. And you'll learn there that a miracle would be performed, called the Incarnation, when Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And then again, after the baby was born, we are told that shepherds were keeping their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and this is what the angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. So take these words, Christ, Jesus, Son of God, Savior, and what a person we have. He is the Christmas is all about. And I want you, my dear friend, in the midst of all the festivity, in the midst of all the family times that we have together, remember, the center of Christmas is Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God. But notice secondly, not only what a person the Advent is concerned with, but notice secondly, what a pilgrimage the Advent is concerned with. Notice what it says, Christ Jesus came into the world. Think about that for a moment. The world. The world is so vast. It's even vast to us today, although it appears to have shrunk by technology. You can get from one end of the earth to another in not a very long time. But in Bible days, when the means of communication and transportation were primitive compared to now, the world seemed a very, very big place. And part of it, Israel, was the place where God had sent his Son. Yet for all of that, whether it's Israel, whether it's the Gentile nations of the world is a place of vast need. And it was into this particular need that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent. Now where did he come from? If Christ Jesus came into the world, where did he come from? Was it Jupiter? Or Saturn? Or was it Mars? None of these places. The Bible tells us, he's the Lord from heaven. The Bible says he came from the bosom of the Father. And the Bible tells us that heaven is God's dwelling place. So far beyond those planets, far beyond the sun and the moon and the stars, what a distance! God in His glorious abode called heaven. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ came from. And my dear friend, I'm at pains to emphasize, the Lord Jesus Christ did not have His beginning at Bethlehem. Unitarians, Sabellians, false cults, they will say, yes, He was born at Bethlehem. That was all there was of Him. There was nothing before Bethlehem that concerned them. I want to tell you, my dear friend, you have to be in order to be sent. So if God sent a son into the world, He had to have a son before He sent him. And if God is the eternal Father, well then, He must have a son. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whenever the Lord Jesus was about to go back to heaven in that great high priestly prayer, this is what He says, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thou me with the glory that I had with Thee before the foundation of the world. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost subsisted in one Godhead and three persons from all eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. How? How did He come from heaven and step into this world as a babe? Well, I told you a few minutes ago. One day, Mary, a young lady, she was engaged to a young man called Joseph. And this angel appeared to her. His name was Gabriel. And the Bible says that the angel greeted her with a salutation, and Mary was startled and wondered in her mind, what could this salutation possibly be? And then Gabriel unfolded the revelation. And he says, God has chosen you to be the mother of the Messiah. And she said, well, how is this going to come to pass? I know not a man. He says, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that shall be born in you will be the Son of God. It was a miracle, I tell you. It was a tremendous miracle. And that is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. By means of the virgin, by means of the incarnation and the virgin birth. And the Lord Jesus Christ then on that night, so long ago, was born as far as His humanity was concerned. He took into union with His divine nature, a human nature, was God and man in one person. Two natures in one person. And He was qualified to do the great work for which He was sent. And that brings me to the last thing that I want to say about His advent. Not only what a person, Christ Jesus, not only what a pilgrimage He came into the world, but what a purpose, what an errand, what a mission. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, would you look at this verse 15 again? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He did not come to establish a code of ethics. He did not come for 101 good other reasons, important though they may be. But the Bible says He came on this errand expressly to save sinners. Now I know that that's not a fashionable message. I know that that message by and large is detested, but it's loved by many people at the same time. Because it tells us, first of all, that there are people who are in terrible danger if they need to be saved. Who are they? Well, we're told they're sinners. Not a fashionable word, but it's a biblical word, fashionable or not. Well, you say, what's a sinner? A sinner is you and me and every other person that was ever created. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So says the Bible. So is the teaching of God's word. That takes in religious people, irreligious people. It takes in moral people. It takes in immoral people. It takes in all kinds of people in society, in this society, or any society of all time. We're all sinners and we need saving. You say, well, if we need saving, what's our danger? Bible tells us. It says the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but the Bible calls it the second death. Eternal separation from God. And where that's located is hell. Read the end of Revelation chapter 20. It's a place that, it's a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. And all of us, my dear friend, but all of us, we're going there. But this is the wonder of Christmas. God doesn't want people to go there. So he sent his son, his only begotten son, into the world, as we've been saying, in order to save them. Now that tells us something. The church can't save us. Neither can sacraments. Neither can religion. Neither can our own effort. Can't be done. Everything else is exclusive and excluded. But Christ, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You say, well, all right, I see I'm a sinner. I may not like to admit it, but I see I'm a sinner. I see that I'm in great danger if what you're saying is true. It's what the Bible is saying. How then can he save me? Well, in order to save you and me, we need two things at least. We need a righteousness. We're not going to get into heaven without being righteous. But we can't work it out ourselves. The Bible says salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need a righteousness. So this is why the Lord Jesus Christ took into union with his divine nature, a human nature, in order to live under God's law and to magnify it, to make it honorable, and to obtain a righteousness for us. So whenever he did that, he obtained the righteousness for us. If you and I realize that we have no righteousness of our own, he is willing to lay his righteousness to our account. That's why one of the hymns in our book says these words, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. This flaming world's and these are red. With joy can I lift up my head. That righteousness, the moment we trust Christ as our Savior, is led to our account. We need that. But something else we need. We need forgiveness of all the sins that we've ever committed. What about all of that sin that we've committed throughout our lives? That we're going to have to face God about one day anyhow, and that he's going to confront us with. What about that? How can we get into heaven with that sin upon us that's growing every day? Well, this is the wonderful thing. Through Christ's death on the cross, he eventually, you see, he was born to die. Never lose sight of the fact that Christmas, as we call it, was a means to an end. The end was Christ at the appointed time going to the cross at Calvary, laying down his life and offering it up as a sacrifice to God. By the shedding of his blood, by the taking of his life, and by rising again from the dead. So, there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. The door is open for us to go in, and Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. That's why he came, to save sinners. This is how he saves them. Whenever you and I realize our great need of him, turn from our sin, put our trust in him alone for salvation, call on him to save our soul, and by his grace and strength, live for him thereafter. Would you be willing tonight to receive this message, to take him into your heart and life, even where you sit in the seat? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd love that you would. You call upon him now. So in closing, let me say, enjoy what is usually associated with Christmas that is not wrong, but right. Enjoy it. But be sure of this, that the central theme of Christmas is Christ. And make sure that he has the chief place in your life. It was said of him when he was born, there was no room for them in the inn. Don't have it said, there's no room in your heart and your life for him. Make him your Savior tonight. Crown him Lord of all. And worship him personally as your Savior and King.